You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
This is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Is it?
I think so.
I thought we were doing something else.
What?
The different thing.
Oh, well, we're not. We're doing the thing we always do. And
Damn.
We'll continue to do until Doctor Who ends, which is never.
Until I literally fucking die. It's the only way.
If you die,
I'm getting freedom.
Who are you going to regenerate into?
Just a hotter version of me.
I don't think that's possible.
Gross.
Wink.
You should play the theme song.
Today, we're going to be talking about the 11th episode of the first series of Doctor Who, Boomtown, which aired June 4th, 2005.
True facts!
And it's definitely an episode of Doctor Who that exists.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. That's another
one done. We did it! Great!
Time to go home. We don't record these at home. So you want to hear my summary?
No.
Or do we need to, like, bullshit for 5 minutes?
We don't need to. I don't think
7 points at Derby.
I don't think that people need to hear
Tony
the bullshit.
Got 7 points.
I did get 7 points. I
you
did.
Jammed twice, and you got 7 points.
I did skate in a scrimmage called Hail Skatin', and I did
Nightmare
jam.
Was it Nightmare on Skate Street?
Did it have a subtitle?
I think Hail Skatin' was the subtitle. Nightmare on Skate Street was the main thing.
I don't think so.
It was something like that. It was on the brochure. Not the brochure.
the book. I jammed twice. I picked up 7 points. Joe didn't see the only time I got lead jammer.
Yeah.
Which also means I picked up 3 points, by the way, when I wasn't even lead. Because I got out, like, right at the same... It's not important. Would you like to do your summary?
Sure. I just wanted to brag about you. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
So, this episode, Boomtown, I've given an alternate title to. I've called it Blonde Date.
I'm physically angry at how good that is.
I was originally going to be called Dining with Monsters.
Oh, you might as well call it Blonde Date.
Yeah. So here's my summary. Here we go. The Doctor, Rose, and Jack return to Earth to recharge the TARDIS on the rift established in the Unquiet Dead. While there, they learn that one of the Slitheen, Blonde Felfotch Pasimir de Slitheen, a.k.a. Margaret, survived the events of Aliens in London /World War III, and is up to new shenanigans. The Doctor captures her and plans on returning her to her home planet, where certain execution awaits her. The TARDIS still needs to recharge, so Rose goes off on a date with Mickey, which goes poorly. Meanwhile, the Doctor
Just
goes...
the worst date.
Well, meanwhile, the Doctor goes off on a date with Blonde, which goes poorly. No, where she tries to guilt him a lot about being a murderer. The rift opens and they all return to the TARDIS, where Blonde tries to escape on a sci-fi skateboard or surfboard.
There's no wheels.
But she gets turned into an egg by the TARDIS. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, what more needs to be said?
Nothing much, really. This is going to be a short one. So, I remembered enjoying this episode. But before we watched it, I was like, I don't really remember what happens in it. And the stuff I liked, I had exaggerated a bit in my mind. And then when we were watching it, and then we hit the ending, I was like, oh, right. I didn't care for this ending. And you know what? Still don't.
I didn't remember this one at all. Like, at all, at all. Everything that happened was brand new to me. And I was surprised that there was stuff in it that I liked. That I was like, oh, there's really good stuff in here. But then once it was over, I was like, I get why I didn't remember it, though.
There's not a lot of stuff that happens.
No. There was, like, really good scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There's some bits of really good acting. But it's, like, a stretch to call it an episode.
Yeah, there's not what you'd call a plot. necessarily.
No.
Hey, did you know that there was, like, this thing that John Pertwee would always say about, like, why Doctor Who was scary? It was, like, you could have, like, just, like, there could be a Yeti on your loo, right? That's, like, it was a thing. There was always, like, he never fought a Yeti, by the way, John Pertwee. But he would talk, that would be, like, his go-to, like, thing, right?
That there could be a Yeti.
Yeah, on your loo, on your toilet.
Taking a shit.
Yeah, like the monsters could be in your house sort of thing. But he would specifically would say on the toilet, basically.
Yeah.
And this episode literally has the monster on the toilet.
I suppose you're right.
Sladeen goes to take a shit. We literally hear it make the fart noise.
You understand that that's not what's happening.
I know it's...
You...
I know. No, the Slytherin takes a shit in this children's episode. Now, she's getting out of her human costume, and it makes that fart noise. But, like, it honestly, it does sound more like a shit than a fart, the sound effect. And, like, the person...
It's so awful! She's got that line where she's like, sounds like we got you just in time. And I'm like, why?
Yeah. Ugh.
Why are we watching... Why are we here for this?
And also, in that scene, I actually didn't see this anywhere, but it looks like the Third Doctor's coat's hanging up in that, like, bathroom, right?
I didn't notice it until you pointed it out, but it did look like that, yes.
It, no one has said it.
Like, you couldn't see it acknowledged anywhere?
I didn't see it acknowledged anywhere, no. And, like, fucking the TARDIS wiki will be like, someone mentioned an apple! And there'd be a hyperlink. So, it's...
Just be a red jacket.
Yeah, but it looks so much like the Third Doctor's. And, like...
I mean, I couldn't see it clear enough to say that it looked like anything.
That's fair. But, like, I mean, that's...
This is SD.
The Doctor got his outfit in, like, a bathroom, right? Or outside of a bathroom? I remember he took a shower and then he just stole some clothes. And also, the toilet line is John Pertwee's line. It's gotta be all on purpose, right?
Sure.
Okay. Fine. Anyway, Slytherin takes a shit. And that's one of the better scenes of the episode.
That is one of the better scenes. Because you have a monster who's showing emotions.
Yeah, because she's going to kill this woman, but then she finds out she's pregnant and then has second thoughts.
I think we've said in the Slytherin episode that this actress is, like, the highlight of it. And, yeah. Like, it makes sense to bring her back because she's... obviously delightful and having fun and being great.
Also, it's a monster that doesn't have to look like a monster for most of the episode. So cheap.
We love that.
This whole episode is just a budget episode.
You told me something that explained a lot of why this episode doesn't hang together. That it was a replacement for, like, a script that didn't get done in time.
Well, no, okay, so it's not that it didn't get done in time. I don't think it was a last-minute script, necessarily. But there was going to be a different episode here, and then the writer just... I think it was a combination of the writer didn't have time to do it because he was working on another show. And a combination of that and the fact that RTD was like, this episode's going to kind of break the show.
It sounded awful.
Yeah. It was going to be written by Paul Abbott, who had previously worked with RTD on that soap opera we talked about, Children's Ward. But he went on to work on Shameless. And I think he also has done some Big Finish. Hmm. I think he's done a lot of the Gallifrey stuff. But his original storyline was... It was going to reveal that the Doctor had been basically... That Rose was bred to be the perfect companion. He had been influencing an experiment.
Bred is the worst word you could have used.
I think it was the word that was in the wiki. Yeah, she was an experiment to make the perfect companion.
I'm just so glad that didn't happen.
Yeah. And if you go with that...
It's so gross.
If you go with that, there was some foreshadowing in the Empty Child Doctor Dances with the Father Christmas line.
Yeah. Well, I don't care for it.
I don't care for it either. I'm glad they didn't do it.
So you're saying you don't think that this script was rushed because of that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it might have been a little rushed, but I don't think it was terribly rushed. Here's what the constraints it was under, though.
Okay.
They wanted to do something that they could do for a certain budget, like keep it cheap. So that's why it's set in Cardiff, where they film. That's why they picked a returning monster that is human for most of the time, so they didn't have to use a suit. It was originally going to be set entirely in the TARDIS, actually, and then they changed it.
I love a good TARDIS episode.
And then I think they also just use it to set up stuff that's going to happen in the finale.
That is the thing, is that so much of this episode is just, like, setting shit up. Like, we're going to call out Bad Wolf for the first time.
Yeah, that's our Bad Wolf update.
We're going to establish the heart of the TARDIS.
In the just most clunky fucking way possible. Just the most... I hate it. I honestly hate the ending of this episode. It's bad. It's not good.
I mean, the whole episode kind of focuses on giving the Doctor this moral dilemma and then sidestepping it so that he doesn't have to make a choice.
It's kind of bullshit.
Especially because, like, that moral dilemma is interesting. The actual, like, good part of this episode is all of the, like, restaurant scenes. All of the scenes between him and Blonde are, like, it's good shit.
Because, yeah, like, the whole thing is, they capture her, she's gonna blow up the planet, but they capture her, and then she's like, if you take me back to my planet, I'm gonna be killed. I will be executed. Like, the whole thing is, like, does the Doctor have the right to take her to be executed? And, like, her basically saying, you're a killer, you're no different than me. We're not so different, you and I. Like, there's literally a scene where she's talking about the toilet scene.
She's... Why do you gotta call it that?
She was like, Doctor, I was taking a shit and it really changed my life.
She's explaining...
You ever had a shit that just changed your life?
Honestly, yes. She's... She's explaining that she has the capacity for change and that, like, the Doctor could just let her go and she would change. She would just live, like, a normal human life. And she's saying, like, I let someone go. And the Doctor is like, that doesn't mean anything. Like,
you let one go to feel good about yourself.
And then she basically says, only a killer would know that. So let me go. Let me be the one you let go. Which is, like, that's a good scene. Even though, like, I'm sitting there like, I mean, it's not the same. You were gonna blow up a whole town to use your little surfboard. It's not the same as there being, like, a justice system involved.
Somebody mentioned this in the TARDIS Eruditorium comments on this episode that I think is an interesting thing. She says, only a killer would know that. Would say that, know that. Does that mean by extension... RTD is a murderer?
Oh no!
Because only a murderer would know that. Only a killer.
Oh no!
So you heard it here, folks. RTD. Straight up killer.
I'm pretty sure the UK has, like, very strict slander laws, so...
Oh. He's a killer...
We are not saying that.
He's a killer good writer. Like, I mean that in, like, you know, he's great.
Yeah.
Retcon. Here's the thing, though. That scene is really good, and it's, like, two lines.
Yeah. I also think part of, like, oh, there's stuff in here that's really good. And I feel like part of that is just that you have, like, two talented actors.
I do like their sort of, like, Looney Tunes, where she just is trying to kill the Doctor in multiple different ways, but in a way that's like, yeah, I was just checking to see if... Yeah, you know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on the same page. Because she tries to poison his wine, and he swaps the wine glasses. She shoots a dart out of her finger that he catches. She tries to breathe stuff on him, and he sprays...
Breath spray.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of dinner, there's also a really good dinner scene, not even, I guess, breakfast scene, earlier in the episode.
You're right! When they're all hanging out, and it could have always been that way. It could have always been a TARDIS team of four hanging out. There's something about it that gets me, that, like, Mickey, like, all four of them were clearly having a good time, and Mickey was, like, also having a good time.
Until he wasn't.
Until
he was...
Until excited. He dropped the ball. Really?
Yeah.
And didn't cover his exit.
Yeah, because that's the first half of this episode is really just the four of them hanging out. There's a scene in the TARDIS where it's just Jack, the Doctor, and Rose being nerds, talking about, like, they
traveling through time and space.
And they, like, all high five. I don't know. Do they high five?
They do all high five. Okay. That wasn't a fever dream. That's a real thing that happened.
I will say Jack feels completely different in this episode than he did in the last two episodes. And also, he doesn't do fucking anything. Two people go on dates this episode, and Jack just stays at home in the TARDIS by himself. That seems out of character.
You're not wrong.
But also, he feels like he's lost his edge. Like, he doesn't have an edge anymore.
I do just think that...
He's just like buddy-buddy with
him. Like, this was one character too many.
Yeah.
I don't have anything for this one, so he sits at home.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, like, I feel like the last episode ended with like slightly uncomfortable, like the Doctor and Rose are dancing and Jack is kind of there and it's, I don't know, there's like a weird tension there that's just completely gone now.
Yeah, well, I think they're just a throuple now.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, and also another disappointing thing about this episode, speaking of Jack, they're chasing Blonde, she's like running away from him, and Jack straight up leaps over this, like, janitor cart thing. And I was like, holy shit, that dude's got a vertical. It was a springboard. You can actually see it in the episode, apparently. He doesn't have that high of a vertical. I was like, holy shit, that's impressive. But we were all lied to.
Nothing in TV is real.
How dare they? Why did she keep her, like, weird surfboard as part of the, like, model?
I just think that's a villain impulse. Like, tee-hee-hee, I'm hiding it in plain sight.
Here the whole time. that scene where they're looking at the model of the town and everything, that's also where we get the bad wolf of this episode, which is, I forget the name of it. It's like Welsh, right?
It's Welsh for bad wolf. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I should have written it down, but I didn't. But it's, I mean, that is part of this episode, is like, hey, thanks, Wales, for hosting Doctor Who. We put some Welsh in here for you, and we filmed in your city and made sure people knew it was your city.
That it was actually Wales.
So that was, and then like.
What a disappointing bone to throw someone. We're going to make sure that people know this episode of Doctor Who is filmed in Wales, but it's fucking Boomtown.
So there is also like the Margaret or Blonde is like, nobody gives a shit about Wales. Fucking Londoners. And then she's like, oh no, I'm going native. That, yeah, they do address, the Doctor's like, bad wolf, that phrase has been following us everywhere.
I do like that scene where it's like very tense and dramatic, and then he goes,
it's
just a coincidence, I don't know.
It's pretty funny. So yeah, that dinner scene's good. There's also the Mickey stuff, which is pretty good.
It's devastating to hear him say, when he's like, do you just want me to, like, sit around and wait for you? Because I will. It's like, buddy, no. Don't do it. Go out with Trish. It's fine.
All of that, you know, soap opera-y, melodramatic bullshit is good. I feel like it ends with Mickey being a little too angry.
A little overacting, just a smidge, maybe.
That scene where there's just the random fires. And he's got like, honestly, he just looks so like angry for, it's like, calm down. You should maybe be a little more just sad, maybe.
Yeah.
There's not enough sad tension that angry. But like, yeah, in general, that stuff is good. Like,
also, Rose has like literally flirted with every single guy she's come across. She's on like a third boyfriend.
the psychic paper in the last episode said she was available.
Yeah.
Very. So, get off your high horse. But also, like, I mean, this is also, like, I feel like a critique of the Doctor, too. Like, you know, this is what happens with people the Doctor just kidnaps.
So, the people that get left behind.
Yeah. And, like, Rose at the end is like, oh, shit, he deserves better than me. I like that part of the ending. Yeah,
that was also kind of devastating.
Yeah. Where the TARDIS lands and it's on the rift and everything. That's where Torchwood is, too, right?
But Torchwood is on the rift.
Yeah. That, like, weird sign that has all the words on it.
So I think Torchwood is specifically on the rift because Jack is waiting for the Doctor, right?
I think.
But then it turns out that, like, he never fuels up again because we forgot about that.
Right. I was about to say, I feel like this is the only time I've ever seen the TARDIS being refueled ever.
Well, I also think that, like, it's probably got a crazy tank.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Like, you do it once, It's like my headphones that charge in the box. I can't remember the amount of times I've actually charged the box because the box charges the headphones. I think I put that thing on the charger once and the box has been charging the headphones ever since. It's like that.
Okay.
Was there ever actual like lore where it's like, oh, we don't have to do that anymore because of reasons?
Well, I don't know. I don't recall.
I don't either.
So I want to just say some quick trivia and then talk about the ending.
You do it. You go for it.
When Rose is talking to Mickey and just talking about all the places they've been, you know, that scene that goes on a little too long.
A little too long, yeah.
That's just supposed to make Mickey feel left out. She mentions a planet called Justicia, which was a last-minute change in the script to be a planet from, like, a tie-in novel.
Okay.
Not even, like, a tie-in to this episode specifically. It was just a Ninth Doctor novel that was out around the same time called The Monsters Within or something like that. It's just a little, like, everything's connected, even though it's not. Apparently that book's also, which was bad. But, like, that's the second time that RTD has connected non-televised material to the show. Because in The Long Game, when they're eating food, she mentions, like, I think it's, like, a Kronk burger?
A Kronk burger?
Kronk burger? Kronk? I don't remember. Maybe it's Kronk. But that's apparently from the comics. So that's my first piece of trivia.
Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Second piece of trivia. When the doctor shows up at Blonde's office and talks to her, like, secretary guy... And he's like, tell her the doctor's here. And he goes in and then, you know, all that stuff. That guy's...
She's climbing out the window, isn't she?
Yeah. That character's name is Idris Hopper.
That character has a name?
Yes. RTD really liked him and was going to have him be in Torchwood. Couldn't get the actor back for whatever reason. So then that character became Ianto Jones.
Oh! Okay.
So that character was originally going to be basically Ianto. And my last thing, the opening scene... That, you know, reestablishes that the Slitheen is back. There's, like, this guy coming to her and is talking about, the plans are bad. Stuff is bad. Oh, it's going to be bad. And is completely oblivious to the fact that she's about to murder him.
Mm-hmm.
The actor's name is William Thomas. You know what? Maybe Idris Hopper is the actor's name. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Wait, you don't know? You're sitting here telling me I have trivia to give you. And now you're sitting here saying... I don't actually know if anything I just said is true in any way.
Okay, it is the character's name. It is the character's name. Okay, I just for a second was very worried that I was... I mean, that sounds like an RTD name, doesn't it? Idris Hopper?
It does.
So, anyway, what was I saying? Okay, this guy at the beginning is murdered. He's been in Classic Who. He was the Undertaker in Remembrance of the Daleks, the one that sees the coffin floating by in the Seventh Doctor story.
Hmm.
And then passes out. Same guy. And he went on to be Gwen Cooper's dad in Torchwood.
Oh!
So he's a triple threat. And that's all of my trivia for this episode. You're welcome. So you want to talk about this egg ending? I think it's dumb.
I mean, what's there to talk about?
Well, I mean, what is it supposed to mean?
She gets a second chance.
I guess she gets a wet... Because,
like, one of the things she says is, like, oh, I didn't even have a chance not to be a bad guy because in my family, they train us to kill.
And so the TARDIS eats her up and spits her back out as an egg.
The TARDIS sees what she wants, and what she wants is a second chance at being a good person.
Comes and out of so fucking nowhere.
It changes her into an egg and then they can drop her back off at her home planet and she can grow up again with maybe a normal family and not a murder family.
Okay, so but like the whole episode is set up this dilemma.
I'm explaining it. I'm not defending it. I want to be very clear.
Okay, so the whole episode sets up this dilemma about whether or not the doctor should take her to be killed.
Yes.
And then does this thing, which the doctor doesn't make a decision.
No.
She's like, I purposely opened the rift and everything, and I pulled you here. I was being evil the whole time, and now I'm going to get on my surfboard and while the Earth is exploded by the rift. And then the TARDIS opens up and chews her up. I don't know.
Why do you keep saying that the TARDIS chews her up? That the TARDIS ate her?
Like, doesn't she get sucked into the thing? Or this light comes out? And
her, like,
she reverts to a baby. She's like Baby Benton. Baby
she
blonde.
Doesn't get eaten.
I for some reason I just remembered her getting sucked in. Does she not get sucked in?
I don't think so.
Okay. But anyway, the TARDIS ending comes out of nowhere.
Well, it's setting stuff up.
It would have been nice if that was set up. It's literally a Deus Ex Machina. Literally.
Yeah. What do you want me to say?
Make it make sense.
They get a second chance. They get a second chance. Okay. It's about getting a second chance.
Do you think maybe the doctor could just let her go?
No, because she was too evil. This is the only way he can let her go.
Why not just trap her in a mirror? It's a sloppy ending.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
So that's all I got to say. You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right, let's take a break.
After a long wait, new Doctor Who is on its way. We're gearing up to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the show with a brand new Doctor. Let's welcome Shuti Gatwa as the 14th Doctor.
No. Shuti is the 15th Doctor. David Tennant is the 14th Doctor.
Wait. I thought David Tennant was the 10th Doctor. Okay, I'm confused.
Confused? Well, your friends here at the Earth Station Who podcast are here to help you through all your Doctor Who questions. Check us out wherever fine podcasts are found.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, I know.
What time is it? Tell me the time. Go ahead and say it's 7:02 p.m. in that irritating tone you have.
Irritating tone I have?
Smug, smug, condescending tone.
Well, I don't have one of
like,
those.
Like, oh, I bet you can't wait for this unique original bit. What time is it?
I'm not doing it.
You're not doing what? What aren't you doing specifically?
I'm not doing it.
Am I doing it? It doesn't feel right if I do it. You have to be the one who does it. I'll give you a kiss.
I'm abstaining. It's time for final thoughts.
Whee! Final thoughts.
I was surprised, as someone who didn't remember this episode at all, I was surprised at how much stuff was in it that was good and that I enjoyed, but it ultimately doesn't hang together as an episode, and that's probably why it's not that memorable.
There's some good stuff in it, but not enough to justify 45 minutes of television.
I think there could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the idea is there, and I think that the core concept is good. It just... That's what the writing of the episode was like. It followed the same structure as that sentence.
In my head, the dinner was much longer.
Yes.
And it's not long at all.
That needed to be more of the meat of the episode, and it's weirdly not.
You know what it should have been? It should have been that episode of Community. That was a riff on My Dinner with Andre. It's just Jeff and Abed at a dinner. And Abed talking about like how he was a background actor and all this stuff. And it's just them having a conversation the whole episode. That's what it should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been. That's. But, you know, just dive deeper into like interrogating the doctor, really. Because that's interesting and that's fun. And then like you tease it and then you don't ultimately do anything with it. So yeah, like this is an episode that has a couple of good ideas that... is mostly, honestly, just filler.
Yeah.
And with a terrible ending. I hate the ending. It's bad. It's bad. And you can't convince me that Second Chances redeems it. Because it
doesn't.
But
it's about Second Chances.
Maybe I'll... Okay, well, this is the second chance I've given this episode, and I didn't like it either time. There you go. Before we go, is there anything we need to plug?
I haven't got a thing. You?
Just look up Minty Pineapple anywhere... Everywhere, mintypineapple.com, mintypineapple.com/store, mintypineapple on various social medias, including Blue Sky. I'm on there now.
I have a Blue Sky, but I've never opened it.
I've used it a few times. I should probably use it more. Anyway, social media, woohoo! But if you like this episode of the podcast, check out more on watchyourassalon.com. You can also find our podcast, our Patreon, and more at linktree.com/watchathon. I also want to give a special shout out to Vince and EL for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thank you, Vince.
Check out more of their music at vinceandel.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we talk about the final two episodes of The Ninth Doctor, Bad Wolf and The Parting of Ways.
That's wild.
I know. we're going to finish that, and then 14th Doctor is going to air, and then we'll probably be jumping into the 10th Doctor.
I don't think I'm ever going to be over how weird that is.
Yeah.
That, like, it's David Tennant and Catherine Tate. I feel like I've time traveled.
She's got a daughter in it named Rose.
I can't believe she's done this. What a terrible thing to have happened.
Until next time, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
And I hope you have a life-changing shit.
And that's how you live with yourself. That's how you slaughter millions. Because once in a while, on a whim, if the wind's in the right direction, you happen to be kind.
Only a killer would know that.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.